Progressive Voice of Minnesota. It is the Minnesota Progressive Repartee for your Wednesday afternoon. Tuesday afternoon. Man, I'm already messed up on these days as I was talking through with Matt. Whenever you get those holidays, it just completely messes you up on what day is which. It is your Tuesday afternoon here on the Repartee, and we're glad to have you with us. Today on the show, coming up in segment two, we'll be welcoming in Gregory Rich and Dan Newkirk. It is our solution show. Yes, it's finally back. We've had to reschedule that a few times. We're glad to be back to our solution show. So if you have any political issues, we'd love to have you call in at 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. Propose your solutions to any political issues, and we would take those on the air. And I think coming up, we'll be talking about solutions to, of course, the gun issue, being that we had a near mass shooting at the state fair last night. Very kind of terrifying to think about. If you go to the state fair with how that's known as the Great Minnesota Get Together, with how many people you have there, boy, scary to think about. If some crazy person brings in a gun, some of the bad carnage that could be caused. So we'll be talking with Gregory and Dan coming up in the next segment about that topic, as well as other solutions to political issues. A heads up, if you're calling right now, we will get to your phone calls regarding solutions coming up in the next segment. Right now, I'm actually running solo as we don't have a producer today, so we'll be getting to that in just a few minutes. But do want to pass along some political news for you today, including the 7th Congressional District, where Colin Peterson, everyone's favorite Democrat, has a new challenger. And this one is a bit of a heavy hitter. It's Michelle Fischbach, the former lieutenant governor, who actually served as Governor Mark Dayton's lieutenant governor for a few months. If you remember correctly, Michelle Fischbach, even though she's a Republican, she actually was Mark Dayton's lieutenant governor because, well, basically what happened when Mark Dayton named Tina Smith as his lieutenant governor, that meant that, well, he had to name a new lieutenant governor since, well, at the time Smith was lieutenant governor, she got named to the U.S. Senate to replace Al Franken. By default, that went to the state Senate majority leader, which at the time was Michelle Fischbach. So that's how she got to be lieutenant governor. And now she is running in the 7th Congressional District. So a well-known name, she will be challenging Colin Peterson. And my only thought here is that this is kind of curious for the Republicans to be launching a well-known name against Colin Peterson in the 7th District, only because I think coming up after the next redistricting cycle, CD7 and CD8 are probably going to be merged into one large district. So I'm not quite sure what their logic is behind running her, because I largely think her district probably won't exist anymore after 2020. And even if she were to win and knock off Colin Peterson, you would likely have to have her face off with the current 8th Congressional District Representative Pete Stauber in a congressional race coming up in 2022. Simply because Minnesota is very likely to lose a congressional district, and CD7 and CD8, due to the fact that those two districts are not growing as fast as the metro area, those are likely to be merged into one district. So even though Fischbach, a well-known name, it might just be kind of a one-time race because, like I said, not sure CD7 as we know it is going to exist anymore. So that's some of the political news we have for you today. Coming up on the other side of the break, we will be joined by Gregory Rich and Dan Newkirk, taking your phone calls on solutions to all sorts of political issues. We'll be talking with them in just a few moments here on the Minnesota Progressive Repartee. Call in 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205 here on the Repartee. It's Brett, joined by Gregory Rich and Dan Newkirk, up next on the Repartee.
Burger Mo's gorgeous patio is open for the season. Enjoy nightly happy hours, more than 60 beers on tap, and the weather while you watch your favorite game on the outdoor screen. And don't miss live music Thursdays, Fridays, and Saturdays. Offering 20 fresh, never-frozen burger varieties, Burger Mo's also offers delicious appetizers, soups, salads, as well as unburgers, dogs, paninis, shakes, and desserts. Burger Mo's is located at 242 West 7th Street in St. Paul, with plenty of free parking, and online at burgermo's.com.
Our climate is in crisis, and it's time we talk about what we can do for our future. So let's talk about solutions at the 55th Annual Nobel Conference, Climate Change, Facing Our Future. It takes place September 24th and 25th at Gustavus Adolphus College. Seven leading thinkers address climate change, inviting you to consider what tools are available, what research efforts do we require, and what kind of people do we need to be to conceptualize and address global climate challenges. You are invited to consider how the changes to the Earth's climate system are vast, without precedent, and of such magnitude and scale as to potentially alter life itself. There will be over 4,000 people on campus for the Nobel Conference discussing these issues. You're invited to attend one or both days to experience the presentations and Q&A. There's even a live stream you can watch. So let's talk about causes and consequences of climate change and our responses to the challenges it presents to us as individuals and as a society at the Nobel Conference. Again, it takes place September 24th and 25th at Gustavus Adolphus College. Full schedule and tickets at gustavus.edu/Nobel Conference.
In the Army National Guard, family means everything.
They really appreciate what she's done as a sister as well as a soldier and, you know, supporting their country.
Our parents, they were really supportive that all five of us would join.
Family members that are soldiers in the Army National Guard inspire and influence, setting a path for others.
It's validating knowing that, you know, I kind of did my part to make sure this is what they actually wanted and that they feel the same way I do. I'm really proud that we get to help shape the future, and I know that my sisters are going to be amazing soldiers.
Serving part-time in the Army National Guard instills pride that you and your family will share in.
A lot of pride, and they're just out there doing something every day and then serving their country as well.
I got my education because of the Guard. I got to travel a little bit and experience a whole different culture.
Visit NationalGuard.com to learn more about part-time service. Sponsored by the Minnesota Army National Guard. Aired by the Minnesota Broadcasters Association and this station.
Food nourishes us. We need food to live. But how are we nourishing the food system? Well, actually, we're throwing a bunch of chemicals and we're making the dirt dead, and then we're adding nitrates to the water and we're causing dead zones in the ocean. Oh, and we're also causing climate change. We do that with every bite we eat. But we can create something different. We can switch to a regenerative system. And that's what we talk about every week on Food Freedom Radio. So tune to Food Freedom Radio Saturdays at 8 a.m. or anytime via podcast. Food Freedom Radio on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
Eat fresh and support local farmers by shopping at the Minneapolis Farmers Market. It's peak time at the Farmers Market. Lots of sweet corn, eggplants, fresh and local fruits and vegetables, meat and farmstead goods. Keep the summer bounty all year long because it's a great time to pickle and can. Look for the cucumbers, incredible deal, canning tomatoes. The Minneapolis Farmers Market is open every day, 6 a.m. to 1 p.m. Plus, there's additional locations, Tuesdays at the Hennepin County Government Center and Thursdays at Nicollet Mall. More details at mplsfarmersmarket.com.
And welcome back to the Minnesota Progressive Repartee. Figured one of you would get a kick out of the theme we had there, the Stone Cold Steve Austin theme.
It's an outstanding choice.
Yes. Yeah, Hunter Haas threw that in there on our playlist here for the Repartee.
Oh my God, I believe Hunter Haas is Welsh, isn't he?
I think he is, absolutely, yes. Yeah, he threw that in there, and every time he plays that for me, I kind of giggle whenever I'm about to jump on air, because you can't really keep a straight face when you hear the Stone Cold Steve Austin theme.
You know what? I'm from a generation. Hi, Gregory Rich, drinking the style.
By the way, we should say we are joined by Gregory Rich and Dan Newkirk for our solution show here on the Repartee.
Which is awesome. Again, everybody complains. Everybody is happy to talk about the problems. Very few people will offer a solution because it's risky.
Which, funny enough, our next thing we're going to talk about, we actually had a few disagreements and unapproachable things for how to find a solution for.
Yeah, we were. You guys were talking with Matt McNeil upstairs because, of course, if you were listening to the Matt McNeil share earlier, as Gregory is nodding his head.
Oh, Matt McNeil. Oh, my God. What are you going to do with Matt?
He brought
McNeil
up an interesting point because we were going through and doing the math of how many unaffordable homes there are for people in the Twin Cities, where technically the rule of thumb is that you should be spending about 28% of your gross income on your mortgage. Mm-hmm. That's gross, not net income, which makes it look a little bit better, but
makes math easier.
Yeah, it does. But if you're thinking about how many $300,000 and $400,000 homes you find in cities like Eden Prairie, Minnetonka, Edina, even Wayzata, Plymouth.
Well, I mean, yes, it's baffling. So there are two things. So we'll go off on two tangents because this is going to be an experiment on the radio, right? We're going to have an honest discussion.
Well, for the record, let's just all like lay it out there first. For a $400,000 house at 28%, you need to make $112,000 a year.
Right.
Let's just nail that in right away.
Well, actually, no. I think we should start with averages. So the average house in Minnesota is what, $280,000?
On the low end, actually, because it's booming right now.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's average. That's what it is. That's the general price. So to afford a let's make it a $300,000 house, because apparently now that is average, which I think is a lot of freaking money, by the way. So $300,000, you should be making $100,000.
$75,000, actually, at the 28% rule.
Oh, nice use of math.
Yeah.
All right. But we're going to round. We're going to say $100,000. So, all right, 78. So we're going to say that basically—
84, I did the wrong math.
The average house or the average income in Minnesota, Brett, is how much?
Oh, that is something I'm going to have to Google right here.
I'm
going to
guess—
You're talking household, not individual, correct?
Well, I'm going to say household, actually.
Okay. Yeah,
cool. So maybe I'm going to say like $80,000.
I thought it was 65.
65?
It's not that high.
I would have gone with 78.
Fingers
and
crossed.
And I rounded up to—
Fingers crossed.
$1, Bob.
Drum roll.
$58,476.
Even less. Even less.
So we'll call it $60,000.
Right,
therefore,
so
for
so
a
the
healthy
average,
economy—
average Minnesotan.
Should be $180,000 should be the average cost of a house. Actually, not even, yes, absolutely, the average cost. And if you are at 280 and it should be 180, that seems like a recipe for disaster.
Well, living amongst your means or above your means and being underwater and with your credit card debt.
Well, no, that's called being lent more money than you should be allowed to borrow.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, that goes back to the Fannie Mae crisis back in 2008, 2009. They were giving out loans to anybody that as long as you could sign on the bottom line, you could be approved a loan, where you couldn't actually afford the loan long term, especially with the adjustable rate mortgage. When the ARM kicked in, all these people signed on the line not knowing what the acronym ARM meant, and it just bent everybody over.
I lived through it. Oh. It's absolutely
true. Well, you owned
true.
Property at the time as well, right? And you kind of saw the disparity kind of turn upside down on you on that one?
Mm-hmm. No, I actually did great. Thanks.
Okay, that's fine. So now what's the solution? How do we
you got Carl Pollard in there?
How do we fix this?
No, it was no, it's wait. So all right, so let's define the terms. Here's the thing. And this is always a thing that I like to use with when I'm discussing things, including like religion, if we want to get into darkness. You need to define your terms. If you're talking about religion, is Old Testament included, Old Testament and New Testament, or are we bringing in Buddhist scripture? You need to know what the basis of your discussion is. So here's where we are. You have average home price at $280,000, correct, Brett?
Yeah, let me Google that real quick as well, but that sounds about right. I mean,
yeah.
So I was a first-time home buyer even when I was coming into the spring market, which was January and February, even though that's winter, they still define that as the spring market. And I was just shocked that if you want to buy an actual house, unless you're getting a fixer-upper, yeah, you're going to be spending about $250,000, $300,000 a year. So I can
on the low.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So yeah. I can totally.
Well, not even on the low. That's the average. Mm-hmm. So $300,000. The average household income in Minnesota is, you said, $60,000?
59.
Yeah, roughly 60. The average income is actually about 75,000, but the median income is about 58,000. And that makes sense because if you have a bunch of people making $5 million, that would bump up the average.
Yeah.
Good point. Everybody uses average, and we always want the median.
Yeah, absolutely.
Remember mean, median, and mode back from your school days.
I have so many jokes. Yeah, no, those were important and good solid terms. So average is the total divided by 2.
Yep.
Or whatever
the math corner right here.
Yes. I was told there would be no math while I was on the program.
Median is essentially better than mean when we're talking about this, though. So let's go with a median of 58,000, which is about 60. So we'll
is the median the elimination of the top and the bottom? Like,
so median is if you take every single price of a home and you were to take the very middle price of all of those homes.
As opposed to the average.
Yeah, as opposed to the average, where you're just adding up the prices of all of your homes and then dividing it by the number of homes that you have.
Yeah, because the average is so tipped because of the upper
So we're going with
because
the
if you had, let's say you had 10 homes and 9 of them were priced at $100,000, but one was priced at $10 million, your average would be completely thrown off.
Excellent. You're right. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And so what is the median income?
$60,000 roughly.
And the median home price?
We will look that up, but I believe it's going to be at least $250,000 a year.
I thought we locked it at 280.
So how do you fix this?
What's the solution?
All right. So here's the problem. We'll lay out the problem. The problem is that under traditional economic law principle, solid lending, and lenders, by the way, have responsibilities to make sure that they are lending to people who can pay for it.
Oh yeah, Fannie Mae. Can I say Fannie Mae real quick?
I will not say Fannie Mae. So
280, by the way, is the median.
Nailed it.
Therefore, if that's the median, that then you know you have predatory lenders, actually, because that is 6, 12, 18, 24. Geez, that's almost 5 times rather than the traditional 3 times borrowing. And again, that 3 times your income rule is there because you assume that in order to be a happy, well-balanced person, this is how much money you should be able to spend on this. This is how much money you should spend on that, and this is how much you should save.
So the profit margin is actually raising like the cost of inflation, but the actual money being made isn't rising in the same fucking 3%.
Yeah, no, we are totally – did you catch that?
I believe.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. So bottom line is here's the problem. The problem is that we should be theoretically at a 3 times
the average house. What's the solution then?
Yeah, all right.
We have to go there.
What is the solution, Brett? Can you fix this?
So – there's several ways you can go with this. The easiest one would be to say, well, why are so many real estate agents actually selling homes to people? And this also goes to people who are selling the mortgages as well. Your mortgage broker is certainly part of this as well. Why are you giving homes to people who essentially can't afford homes? Do you need more regulation on people who are the mortgage brokers or people who are the real estate agents? Or do you need...
it's
something along the lines of more financial literacy. There's a lot of different directions you can go in terms of a solution.
You're right. First, rule out the realtors. Realtors are reactive. Realtors are trying to maximize the price sold and the price bought. They're almost a self-balancing equation.
Capitalism.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Which is great.
Yeah.
Capitalism is awesome.
Free enterprise.
Huge fan. So rule out the realtors because they're just parts of the equation. They aren't
right.
Big, important, whatever. So it's the lenders, man. So the solution is that lenders need to have, well, which used to be the case, they had to have a certain amount of liquidity based on the loans that they are writing, based on their entire portfolio. And then that was thrown away in the at the end of the Reagan administration, I think, in the late 1980s. When they eliminated,
I remember when the housing crash happened. my dad had a credit card. I was still a young kid. He had a credit card that had X amount limit, and when the housing crash happened, it got decreased by like 100% because the FDIC was kind of like up to their elbows with what was going on with the housing market. So how do we fix this?
I blame the Welsh.
The running gag from Gregory Rich, because always blaming the Welsh for your problems. By the way, listen to Drink in the Style to actually figure out what that reference is. Basically, it is no one ever criticizes the Welsh. So there you go. A little bit of a lighthearted
Someone has to do it.
But man, we're on the solution show and we have no good solution for this problem because Matt kind of freaked me out as I was thinking about this. As he was bringing this up on the last show, I'm like, wait a second. Do I actually fall into this category where I'm paying more than 28% of my income on my mortgage? Turns out I'm not, which thankfully is due to Kirk Duckwall, by the way, an advertiser here on AM 950, host of the House Geeks Real Estate Show, saving me from that. But
well played.
Yeah, well played as well. So I'll take that check from you, Kirk, by the way.
$12.
Here's the solution. Renter, stop buying houses you can't afford.
Well, here's the problem with rent, though. So this is something I've talked about on the show. So basically, in Minneapolis and St. Paul, those two cities, and the Pioneer Press has reported on this, there are homes that you can rent for under $30,000 a year, but there are literally no vacancies whatsoever if you make less than $30,000 a year. So renting isn't necessarily the solution either, because the rental market is extremely tight. That's one of the big reasons why it's volatile, actually, is what the word is.
That's a better way to put it.
Yeah, that's the reason why I ended up actually buying instead of renting.
You're saving money by buying, actually.
Well, yeah. you're foolish not to, because money is so cheap on a loan right now. The interest rates are insanely low.
So, damn it, fellas, what's the solution? We keep going on the rabbit hole of no solution.
Yeah.
I know, we're kind of—
Do you think Gary knows?
Should we go to Gary?
I mean, we're not doing very well.
Let's see if Gary. Yeah, we're kind of struggling for a solution here. Let's go to Gary in Minneapolis. Hey there, Gary.
We need an economic revival. Somebody like a Roosevelt, Elizabeth Warren, or Bernie Sanders. Or run Elizabeth Warren, get her in there, and get Bernie to run the Senate instead of that Schumer is in with the bankers. And ask the American people, are you better off than you were 4 years ago? Especially the farmers out there that were such supporters of Trump. And then better than that, go further back. Go 40 years back. Reaganomics, 40 years of Reaganomics, how that works out for you. And then Reagan told us to get the government off the people's back, but he really got it off the rich people's back. So get tough on the rich people and regulate those corporate elites and do something about that corruption. Get the cop back on the beat.
All right. Thanks so much for the call there, Gary. Appreciate it. So he's going along the lines of something that our next caller, who we'll get to in a second, is Randy in St. Cloud, talking about the need for more regulation. Mm-hmm. And look, I hate kind of saying that as the solution, but I can't think of anything else.
All right. Look, here's the thing that we all need to be very clear on. I don't know anyone who isn't a capitalist. We all appreciate the situation, which is the exchange of goods.
For a profit,
yeah. Then what I offer you is what you will take from me. It's a great system. It's a brilliant system. But capitalism without certain constraints becomes chaos and predation,
mm-hmm.
Right? So you need to have regulation along certain lines. You need to understand – it's benchmarking. You need to understand what a good loan is from a bad loan long term. And the banks have forgotten what that is, because all they're thinking about is perhaps what happens in 3 to 6 months. And if anything terrible goes beyond that, the government bails them out every time. Therefore, there's no risk associated with it. But you have a moral responsibility to lend money judiciously, and that's what they have failed to do. Therefore, the solution, Mr. Newkirk, is to regulate and have a baseline of what standards are, and then give flexibility based on circumstances around that.
So you're suggesting Big Brother become more Big Brother?
No, not at all.
Oh.
I'm saying big – well, actually, you know what?
Who's going to
regulate?
Are we going to regulate by the people, or are we going to have our people that we put in place regulate these things?
Big Brother is not terrible. My brother's a sociopath. But if I had a Big Brother, I would love to love him and understand that he has my best interests at heart and has greater wisdom than I do.
Okay.
So Big Brother is not necessarily indicative of oppression. Big Brother is someone that you look to for a certain amount of wisdom, but understand that he, as Big Brother, is himself flawed and cannot be allowed to run amok.
Well, can we wait till 2020 happens before we decide we want to go that route, please?
Now. Nothing can happen. I mean, my God, we're in a horrible state of paralysis right now. And we can't do anything, and we shouldn't do anything.
Nobody's going to argue or deny the idea that the housing market will come to a crash again.
I know. How do you take advantage of that?
It's too strong. It's flourishing.
Maybe Randy from St. Cloud knows how to fix
Randy.
It.
Hey there, Randy. What's on your mind? What do you think about a solution to our issue about housing?
Yeah, I can solve the whole thing.
Not
a problem at all. The capitalism is this great system is kind of, I don't know, like the Parkland kids down from the big mass shooting when they said we call BS. Well, I'm doing that. Because
on the housing situation,
what happens in capitalism is, as the rich keep getting richer and richer and richer, guess what? They buy the regulators. Mm-hmm. And this whole, it all started when Reagan said, government's not the solution, government's the problem. You know, that large lie that was told. And And then getting rid of the Glass-Steagall Act, more regulation. They got rid of that. What happened? Boom. We came down. And if we don't start putting some of these guys in jail, because that's the only thing that's ever going to stop any of these guys, they know we're gonna
jail the white collar criminals is how you solve this problem.
Well, it's gonna help because then maybe they're gonna say, "Well, yeah, I can't do whatever I want."
I think you're absolutely on the right track here, Randy. Because as
accountability.
Yeah, because as Matt talked about last week, when you look at this big Johnson & Johnson settlement, they're paying out millions, if not billions, of dollars, all because their executives don't want to go to jail. They're absolutely scared to death of going to jail.
It was, may I say, Randy, hey, Randy, hold on one second, because you call in from time to time, and I think you have some great freaking points. So here's my question to you. True or false, the greatest failure of the Obama administration was its failure to prosecute those who perpetrated the 2008 catastrophe, who built that up.
Bingo. Yeah, I absolutely agree.
Thank you, brother. I just needed that. That's awesome.
Hey, I lost my home in the downturn in 2009 because Jamie Dimon figured he knew he could do better with my home than I could.
Who's a greater evil genius? Who's a greater evil genius, Mitch McConnell or Jamie Dimon?
Ooh.
Right?
Wow.
Right?
Oh, wow. Oh, man.
I would say it's Jamie Dimon because he bought Mitch McConnell.
Yeah, I think you're right, actually.
That's a great point.
You're absolutely
one up, one up.
Wow, that's well done, Randy. Hey, thanks so much for the call there, Randy. Really appreciate it. Hey, tell you what, we're going to take a break here on the Minnesota Progressive Repartee. We'll continue our conversation about how to solve the housing issue and then maybe get into some other topics as well. You're listening to the Solutions Edition of the Minnesota Progressive Repartee on AM 950.
Auto Technical needs your help to keep our transportation program going. Social agencies like Workforce Training Center, Tubman Shelter, they rely on our mission of providing transportation to families in need. Donations of vehicles are down 80% because of the new tax laws. We really need vehicle donations to continue our mission. Help us, please. Give a call to Richard at 612-919-5526, autotechnical.org.
You're listening to AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota, the most informative source for progressive politics and news in the Twin Cities. Get involved online at am950radio.com, where you can sign up for our weekly newsletter, check out the local businesses that help make this content available, and stay up to date on the latest news and upcoming events. You can always reach us by email at comment@am950radio.com. That's comment@am950radio.com. Thanks for listening.
Hi, I'm Peter Solak.
And I'm Adam Ostrowski.
We are here at Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces to talk about outdoor fires. Sitting around a fire is the oldest, most basic form of human activity.
What's new is in the way fire is burned. We can show you how to burn cleaner with a lot less smoke.
The radiant heat and light from an open fire is unmatched. It kindles our spirits and connects us to the outdoors. And now it's easier to experience and enjoy.
Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces sells and installs wood and gas burning fire pits and fireplaces. Let us help you experience an outdoor fire without all the smoke.
Come see the many ways you can enjoy a fire outdoors.
Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces has over 35 working wood and gas units on display at the corner of East Franklin and Riverside Avenue in Minneapolis. More information at woodlandstoves.com. Find the fire that works for you. Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces, out of the ordinary products and services since 1977.
The Downtowner Woodfire Grill in St. Paul is the perfect choice for breakfast, lunch, and dinner 7 days a week. Offering daily fresh seafood specials, fire-roasted meats, exquisite pizza, and half-price bottles of wine on Mondays and Tuesdays, except on Xcel Energy event nights. Once you experience their cozy fireside dining, extensive wine list, and bar, you'll be back for more. Gift certificates and private dining room for parties available. Located at 253 West 7th Street with plenty of free parking or online at downtownerwoodfire.com.
With your AM 950 weather, I'm Brett Johnson. Look for partly cloudy skies tonight with a low around 51. Wednesday sunny with a high near 70. Thursday partly cloudy with a high near 78. And Friday sunny with a high around 75.
Standard Heating and Air Conditioning's triple savings sale gives you three ways to save up to $2,500 on a new furnace and AC this September. Learn more about these great savings at standardheatingdeals.com. Standard Heating and Air Conditioning, comfort you deserve.
Hello, humans. This is me, Ellie Krug, with Ellie 2.0 Radio on Monday mornings from 7 to 8 a.m. This week, we're talking about enslaved humans, historical and present. I'll highlight Cujo Lewis, the second to last formerly enslaved human to die in the U.S. The big interview will be with Marshall Tanak, who's written about enslaved humans living in Minnesota. In my C-block, I talk about learning the phrase enslaved human. Ellie 2.0 Radio, engaging and real on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
I should stop pointing fingers, reserve my judgment.
And welcome back to the Minnesota Progressive Repartee. Look, take your phone calls at 952-946-6205. We'll be continuing our discussion about how to solve the lack of affordable housing, not only for the housing market, but also the renting market as well. Both of those, I think, are going to reach quite a problem coming up if we enter a recession in 2019 and beyond. And then I love this idea because Gregory Rich kind of blew my mind during the break. Solar panel roads, which completely, this concept, you got to run this by me one more time. Solar panel powered roads. We're going to get into this in just a second, but first let's go to the phone lines. Let's go to David in St. Paul. He wants to take a stab at solving this affordable housing crisis in the Twin Cities. Let's go to David. Hey, how you doing today, David?
Hey, great. Thanks for taking my call. Hey, I'll just tell you how not to solve it, and it was part of the 2017 tax cut law. And what they did, this was reported in the New York Times over the weekend or a few days ago. They created these opportunity zones, and the concept was that these millionaires, but instead of paying their capital gains taxes, they could invest in these opportunity zones to promote development. Well, no criteria was set for these development zones or these opportunity zones, so they're being built on places that are already making money or they're already well off or they're not in need of the resources. So what's happening is it's a double-edged sword. They're taking away the capital gains taxes, and they're allowing these guys to invest in luxury condos and high rises and things like that, that will increase the cost of housing around that area, thus exacerbating the problem.
David.
And we're not even getting the taxes.
Your heart is 100% in the right place, and the tax bill's heart was 100% in the wrong place. But there is a certain level of equality in that. So here's the deal. So an opportunity zone, I happen to be in the real estate market right now looking for some
options. Did you read the article, though?
Which article?
In the New York Times about how it's all billionaires and it's the majority of these guys that they're
well. Here's the deal. No, here's how it works. Seriously, okay. Here's how it works.
I want you to stay on.
Can you stay on?
Yeah.
Okay, because I want your thoughts on this. So here's the deal. So here's how the opportunity zone goes. So you have a real estate transaction. Let's say it's a 1031 real estate transaction. A 1031 is an in-kind transferal of capital gains. That is to say, you sell a property and you would normally be taxed as a capital gain on it. And as long as you invest all of your capital gains and then you carry a loan from a bank of equal or greater value, then you don't pay or you can forestall those capital gains. Now, if you invest that in an opportunity zone, and an opportunity zone is based purely on average income of the permanent residents in that area. So let's look at like uptown Minneapolis or maybe the north or maybe the university area in by the U of M, right, where everybody has a really low average income. Then you can take advantage of the system because you are picking spots where it's prosperous and there's great investment opportunity. But you have a low average income because of unusual circumstances. That is how the oligarchs are taking advantage of the system. They are picking those particular areas. But the opportunity zone concept itself, which is you can forestall any capital gains tax associated with your appreciation between when you buy something and when you sell something within 7 years is not taxed, is a good idea. But it's a good example of how, once again, those who understand the system can squeeze and abuse it and therefore come out ahead and take advantage. But the root of the concept is not bad because it is trying to drive money into a certain area.
Yeah, but on top of that, regardless of how expensive college has become, education has become.
Where the hell did that come from?
You're tying in money that they have to take loans out for to afford these housing because it's supply and demand, and they're going to have to rent these places.
In those particular areas. But yeah. David, let me ask you seriously. This is a question of – so the concept is you can invest in an area that has a low average income, something well below the average income of a state's resident, right?
Yep.
So that is a good idea to drive money to that. But in certain cases, you have people who have figured out ways around it and they're maximizing it as best they can. But
and all of the people they mentioned were the Kushners, Anthony Scaramucci, just hedge fund managers, just, you know.
Yeah.
To me, I agree that there needs to be opportunities and people investing. And if they make money, that's fine. But they also need to provide fair affordable housing.
Agree completely.
That's not the cushion.
But the thing is that, you know, and again, honestly, I'm so loath to say anything that happened in the Trump administration is a good idea. But every now and then, as they say, even a blind hog can find an acorn. And the concept of being able to invest in an area that has low average income to try to bring that whole program up is a good one. And just because the mooches and the Kushners know how to game the system and take advantage of it doesn't mean you throw the baby out with the bathwater.
But are they able to monopolize the market then because they have the money to be able to make these investments?
Well, the market's limited in that those areas that are – I mean the most opportunity zones are truly depressed areas where you don't want to invest money. You seriously, it's a place to throw money if you have to try to forestall and hope for the best. It's like roulette from a real estate perspective.
Yeah.
But the Kushners and those guys, they know how to maximize the return. They're going to snatch up all the sweetest plums because that's what oligarchs do.
Yeah.
But you still can't say the entire system is rotted because these sons of pups are taking advantage of it.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much for that clarification.
Oh. Thank you, David.
Hey, thanks, David.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Yeah, so this is interesting that he brings up. So basically you have like families like the Kushners that he's talking about. So they're basically, for lack of a better way of pushing it or putting it, they're picking and choosing which areas they're going to invest in, which would be like a northeast Minneapolis where property values are very likely to increase as compared to, let's just say, a north Minneapolis where it's a little bit more dicey.
Again, it's the nature of people, those who have all the resources know how to maximize their outcomes.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, they are taking advantage of the system. Although, again, it's fair market based. That is to say, I've seen areas like there are areas in Hopkins that are opportunity zones. Uptown Minneapolis, certain areas are opportunity zones. And you have seen well, actually, you know what? I'm gonna throw one to David on this too, because they're skewing the market because those markets are not being allowed to perform appropriately because it has advantageous tax issues, and those who have the accountants who are solid enough know that that's where they can take advantage of it, and it becomes a skewed system. But still, that's I think honestly like 20% of the opportunity zone market.
Okay. Yeah, I wasn't really familiar at all with opportunity zones, but as you said, it sounds like the heart is in the right place with that.
It's not a bad idea.
Yeah.
It's, you know, motives and all that other stuff aside, it's not a terrible idea. It was just, you know, executed in such a way that there were lots of loopholes.
Wow, you just totally summed up my thoughts on Trump and tariffs.
Oh, yeah.
The heart is in the right area because I completely agree. So my analogy I've kind of used on Trump and tariffs as we delve off into a completely different topic is that he's absolutely right. We do need to do something about China because we do have a bad trade imbalance with them. But he at least recognizes that there is a problem, but his solution is horrible. It's like if you have a guy with a broken leg, Trump's solution is, well, I'm going to break your arm instead because that'll make you feel better.
If it hurts, stop doing it.
Yeah, exactly. Where if you took someone like even a Barack Obama or a Hillary Clinton with some of their trade policies, they would say, well, there's no problem at all. They wouldn't even recognize that that person is hurt. Where Trump would say, well, yeah, you're hurt, but I'm going to break your arm instead of your leg.
So they at least we're missing the middle.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Mm-hmm.
Well, no, what we're missing is the importance of the outcome. The outcome is not to simply distract you from the broken leg by breaking your arm. It's like, to make you freaking well.
Your leg is broken. We're going to fix you.
Yeah.
Not John F. Kennedy, ask not for the Democratic answer nor the Republican answer, but the right answer.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. Well, if you don't have any more solutions on the phone lines, we are going to talk about our solution to road construction in Minnesota. This one during the break fired up Dan a little bit, and me as well. So we're going to talk about this on the other side of the break, how to solve the road construction issue in Minnesota. That's on the way next here on the Repartee.
Burger Mo's, Mondays no longer need to be a drag. Dine on the beautiful patio for Burger Monday Madness every Monday after 4 p.m., where you can order any burger and fries off menu for just $6. Not valid on Excel event evenings. Burger Mo's offers 20 fresh, never frozen burger varieties, as well as delicious appetizers, soups, salads, and unburgers, dogs, paninis, shakes, and desserts. Located at 242 West 7th Street in St. Paul, with plenty of free parking, and online at burgermo's.com.
So, you're finally coming to grips that it's time to replace your carpet. Or maybe you want to update the look of your favorite room. Lucky for you, there's Z Floors by Zero Res. It's my trusted one-stop shop for all my flooring needs. So when nothing but new will do, check out the new Zero Res flooring experience at z-floors.com.
Also, right now is the Zero Res end of summer sale where you can get 3 rooms of carpet clean starting at only $129. Call 952-ZERO-RES or visit zeroresminnesota.com.
This is Gregory Rich, founder of Habitation Furnishing and Design and host of Drink in the Style every Sunday at 5 p.m. You know, on the radio program, I often say that life is the big stuff, but living is in the details. The furniture in your home may be details, but that's where you do the living. So why not speak to one of Habitation's design professionals about making your space the best it can be? Habitation, 4317 Excelsior Boulevard in St. Louis Park.
Grips on your ways, front way, back way. You know that I don't play.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. You're back with the Solutions edition of the Minnesota Progressive Repartee. Hearing a track from Drake. I don't often get to see Hunter's playlist for bumper music, but I got a feeling here, Greg, we're not going to be hearing Drake on the Drink in the Style show.
I have no problem with the Drake.
Really?
The Drake seems like a talented young man.
Mm-hmm. Still a Canadian. Your wife don't like him.
The Canadian, yeah. No, my wife doesn't like Canadians. She thinks they think they're better than us. Although these days, one must question.
Free healthcare, one could actually argue that.
I got an aunt, Aunt Mary. Aunt Mary has been the butt of jokes in my family for literal decades because she's OCD and she wraps everything in saran wrap, right? Like her cane at this point has, I'm going to say, a good solid 8 inches of saran wrap.
Please tell me she does everything in ketchup.
She's 100, no, but she's 104 years old. And at a certain point, you stop mocking Aunt Mary and you start wrapping your shit in saran wrap.
Yeah.
Did you get to that, Brett?
We got that, yep. Thank goodness for the delay.
Okay, road construction.
Let's get to it. Let's get to what you're saying.
Let me lead off batter for this one. So my example being is I work in downtown Minneapolis, and Henneman is the perfect example of what's not being done on time. Or you can go to 35W, all the other things that have taken way too much time. I came from Milwaukee, and Milwaukee, we had the Market Interchange. It was a 10-year plan. It took 10 years. Literally, I got my driver's license, and for the first 10 years of my driver's license career, I drove in construction. I moved here, same thing. Now, my sister was going to school down at ASU, down in Tempe. Arizona. And the 10 that runs all the way from, I think, New Mexico, all the way to the coast through California. The 10 was getting redone in Arizona. And granted, their weather is much different, but working during the daytime is awful. But they ran 24-hour crews. I'd never seen a highway get built more faster than that. Now, in Minnesota, we have four months of summer, and the rest is winter and road construction.
So
why would you not work around the clock? Instead of starting so many projects in so many different parts of the city, why not just concentrate all your resources 24 hours in one spot?
Because of the massive overtime associated with nighttime construction roads.
No, not, there's not overtime. There's not overtime. You have a first, second, and a third shift.
But a third shift is going to pay overtime. It must.
But it might pay a vig, but you know what? The money you save by getting it done faster.
Yeah.
Shoot.
Just think about
is there money being saved? Because they don't care. There's no outcome. They have no deadlines. They have no contracts.
These are city contracts. And let's not talk about the mockery that was Nicollet Avenue. That was a shame.
Oh my God. What is
I watched people like redig and re-cement holes three times because they didn't orchestrate it well enough, and they had the different contractors doing their different. They didn't.
All right. So throw all this stuff aside. We're a solution show.
How do you fix it?
I hear you.
Round the clock. 24-hour work.
No, 24-hour working is not the solution because that's all going to be automated anyway, so it doesn't matter. So the question is, the asphalt is the issue.
Oh, yes. Right
asphalt.
There, yeah.
The fact that we are laying all of our roads associated with this insanely, absurdly soft and subject to dissolution product. And why are we married to asphalt?
Well, concrete is more expensive in the expansion retract.
But concrete is so much cheaper in the long term. Oh, man, you touched a button with me right there.
Yeah.
Amen.
Concrete, I mean, that lasts 30 years where asphalt. You're going to replace that every 3, 4, 5 years. As someone who bikes a lot, it bugs me every time I go on an asphalt trail. Because after they replace it, it's already in bad shape again. You got cracks everywhere, or if you go on a concrete trail or a concrete road, that'll last decades and decades. So, as you guys said, it is more expensive in the long term, but if you serve in the city council, you don't care about that. You're worried about your next reelection.
It's always a short-term horizon. It's sickening. The ancient Romans built roads throughout all of Europe. And they would do it in a three-step process. That is, you would excavate to like 8 feet, fill the first like 3 feet with sand, small pebbles. Second few feet was small rocks and kibble. And then you would layer it off with large rocks followed by an entire top. Now, or by a brick top overall. Now, these became the basis of prosperous societies around the world, a continuous maintenance-free infrastructure. England managed to dominate Great Britain because England was the only zone that was colonized by the Romans and had that infrastructure, that level of roads that could be depended upon and you didn't have to worry about anything else. It's insane. And thus, they conquered the entire world. Whereas we as Americans lay down what is essentially dirt. Mm-hmm. Dirt roads from end to end of this country. It makes no sense whatsoever.
So, solution.
My solution right here. So, is if you have a road that gets X amount of traffic, if it gets that or more, it's got to be cement or concrete. I mean, I get the idea that some roads do need to be asphalt because they don't get very much traffic and it's not cost effective to build cement, but somehow you need a factor, and I'm not sure where this is. You would need to talk to someone who actually works in road construction. You need to come up with a number where if the average number of cars that travel on X road exceeds this number, then it's got to be concrete instead of asphalt.
So what's really funny, and it's kind of gross, actually. So before I left Milwaukee, I was reading the MJS, the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, which is just like our local Times. They said that every side street in the city of Milwaukee proper, it would be 117 years before that road was ever repaved again. And it was concrete, and the road lasted 100-plus years. But growing up as a kid, I remember like hot summer days in Milwaukee, my favorite thing to do would go to the street and just peel back all that tar that they were like hitting the cracks with. Again, like I like the concrete idea, but
you've always been a hooligan. Constantly. So, here's another thing, though. I read an article years ago. A couple of years ago, about laying solar roads roads that are basically solar panels throughout, which are great concepts. You can do them like
the future.
8 inches, yeah, 8 inches deep on various layers of energy absorbing surface with an LED top. And those roads became literally the solar panels stretching from one end of the country to another. How do you make that work? Because they would be able to feed the grid across the board as needed at the time that's required. And I would say the solution is this. You have that LED panel on the top. Sell it as information. Harness the power of the free market. And you know what? If Pepsi will pay $1 million a mile in order to have this solar road for 5 years and then you can turn it off, then that is a great way to turn our infrastructure into both an energy-producing system and a sustainable long-term system.
You know the problem, though? We're going to get Chris Lindahl ads every 5 miles on those roads.
You can run over Chris Lindahl's face. You could, if you want people to exit at a certain area, you just swerve to run over the Lindahls.
So LED...
Let's talk more about Chris Lindahl, can we? Because
We got 1 minute left. Let's do it.
All right. Yeah, right. We got a minute. But then we can come back to roads. But all right. So here's the thing with Chris Lindahl. He's irritating the heck out of everybody. Nobody is a friend of Chris Lindahl except, you know, someone at a bar maybe who finds him attractive because she saw him on a billboard and that may work. But for the most part, it's a nightmare. But it must be working, right? I mean, if he's able to afford all
His marketing manager did not get fired.
Yeah. Didn't he? Well, actually, he's going to go down in flames.
Brilliant.
Really?
I suspect so.
It feels like if you spend so much money, eventually you get to the point everyone knows your name or you are going to make some money back. I don't know.
I mean, what? There's no bad press?
He couldn't
afford
all of that unless it was producing revenue. Yeah. The question is, how long will it be sustained?
All right. That's it for the repartee. You can hear us again next Tuesday on our Solutions Show on AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota.